Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Coming up on today's episode, we look back at the weekend for the Jets, including a pair of comeback wins, plus what's on tap with just days to go before the NHL trade deadline.
Hello, everybody. Recording live from somewhere.
What's good and welcome to another episode of Skates and Plates on the Hockey Podcast Network. I'm your host, Brandon Rewicki. You can follow me on Twitter at Brandon_Rewicki or the podcast at Skates Plates Pod. All right, good to be back at it here after the weekend and after a little bit of a delay in the episodes coming out. So we do apologize for that. Some personal matters popped up, but we are ready to go. And of course, as always seems to happen with anything, you take a bit of time off and, a lot to get into. It was a pretty wild week, again, on and off the ice for the Winnipeg Jets. A lot of turmoil, which is kind of odd for a club that's sitting in first in the Central Division and battling for tops in the conference of the NHL. But it's the way it is around Winnipeg these days, it seems. So we got plenty to get into, and we'll talk about that with the deadline. Now just 3-4 days away, Friday is getting closer and closer, so it's going to be a busy week for the Jets and the rest of the NHL. Doing so with me once again is CJOB's Tyson Rewicki. Tyson, how we doing? What's going on?
We're doing pretty good. This week is the best week for hockey fans besides the draft.
I thought you were going to say because it's potato week in Winnipeg. No? You sure. Don't know about potato?
Sure. you got your russets, your Yukon yellows.
Okay. Any others? Yukon golds, but that's okay.
No, that's all I got.
Baked? It is for those wondering. It is potato week here in the city. Not quite yet to the heights that Burger Week and the like are. But it really should be, because potatoes are quite possibly the best food. Like, there is no more versatile food on the planet. Like, what has more range than the humble potato?
That's right? Funny. They're so brutal, though, uncooked, that you never expect it to be one of the best things once you do prepare it.
It runs till March 10th, Potato Week here in the city.
That's not a week.
Well, Burger Week's 2 weeks. Potato Week, they're getting 10 days. Give them a break here. But I actually partook in a little Potato Week action on the weekend at the Commons in the Forks. I was very fortunate, which is one of the best spots in the city, by the way. We should have more, like, food halls. There should be a food hall every, like, 20 feet in every city. They're just, I've been to a bunch of them all over the place. I mean, they're mostly kind of like an American thing, but some in Europe as well. And I just think they're, like, the greatest.
They're pretty cool.
Invention for, like, local communities. But I hit up Red Ember for supper.
Mm.
And they really brought it for Potato Week. It was a palm puree base instead of the sauce. Some smoked cheddar. Like, fingerling potatoes, like, thinly sliced. Braised short rib. And a herb and lemon gremolata over the top.
That does sound pretty fire.
It was pretty legit. Yeah, it was was a damn good buy. I've been spending a few days thinking about it. So if you haven't checked it out, Potato Week, I'm sure a bunch of the spots in the city are gonna have some tasty items out there.
Potatoes on pizza are pretty underrated, actually.
It is very underrated. But as long that, like, Red Ember did it right. I know it's a chain, but like Boston Pizza's pierogi pizza does, like, if you thinly slice it.
You can't have it too chunky, though. If it's too big, then it just ruins it, just overtakes it.
Yeah, it's tricky. And just kind of looking at some of the Potato Week contestants here. Oh, I'm not a donut guy, but that Bronuts potato fritter.
Oh.
There's a few donuts here that I'm okay. All right. And croquettes. If you do a croquette might be my favorite food of all time.
It's pretty good.
If you do a croquette, I'm immediately on board. So, well, I'll kind of look through these, some of the other contestants here as we do the episode here. But just wanted to give a shout out. Commons, Red Ember, great pizza. The food all over the place is great. Yeah, that is a wild one. I do want to try out. Let me know if anyone out there has tried it. But I was, just because there were some drinks involved, I wanted to have like a clean, you know, palate and mindset. But I want to try House of Sri Lanka at the Commons.
Interesting.
I never had Sri Lankan food. I don't know if I ever will be able to outside of that. So,
Island of the Snakes.
Is that? What?
I believe that's what Sri Lanka means.
I was like, oh, okay, weirdo.
Steve Irwin taught me that. Rest in peace to the goat. Shout out.
Shout out, Steve. He is, yeah, that's the goat of goats. Yeah, so Potato Week. Check it out. Let's go. Jets talk. And what a bizarre, we'll call it a week. We'll just do the weekend as if it was the Dallas game. So we'll pretend like it was one big weekend. But I mean, since we last spoke, the Jets, 3 games in 4 nights, Dallas Thursday, Carolina, Buffalo back-to-back. The vibes were not good after the Dallas game. And I would say rightfully so, because that one was a bit of an eye-opener. But it's weird, too, because it feels like it's almost two different, you know, diverging points that we have to go down. The Stars game was a disaster, but the team found a way in very different fashions to kind of get everybody on the right track, or so we thought. But the Stars game was a bit of a wake-up call as to, you know, like what's been happening the past couple of weeks can continue to happen if we want to be considered here in Winnipeg one of the upper echelon teams in the NHL. And then the first period against Carolina, it was that again. And in the second period, it was, oh my gosh, the collapse is, it's imminent. Like, it's second half nightmare 2.0 here. And then a third period for the ages. On top of that third period for the ages, being done by what so many here in the fan base have been clamoring for, Ehlers comes to the rescue. The Jets find a way to get the job done against a really good Hurricanes team on the road. 5 straight in the third. Here we go. Let's go. And then Buffalo turns into a bit of a, not a disaster necessarily, because I thought the Jets played good. But then it's a reversion right back to where this team has been before lineup-wise. But they do find a way to get it done regardless of that, right? So, like, what a weird weekend as a whole. It's interesting too, Tyson, because both, it feels like there's two kind of camps here in Winnipeg in terms of the fan base. You know, there's the Ehlers needs top line minutes group, and there's the trust what the coach is doing. If Ehlers is on line 2, line 1, it doesn't matter. We're on, like, let's go with the bench boss. It feels like there's two different groups here in the city. Turns out they were both right this weekend. So, like, the online wars will continue here, because either side could be like, well, look at this, it worked out. Well, look at that, it worked out. I guess where are we at now? After what we saw in the past 3 games here, and then heading into the upcoming trade deadline on Friday. Like, what, I guess just, like, temperature check on the Jets.
Temperature check on the team as a whole. I think we're trending up a little bit. We're heating up a little bit. Just because having that comeback is a comeback where that can change a season.
The Carolina.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Carolina comeback where those kind of games, especially against a team like Carolina, who's known for locking things down once they do get that lead. And you could tell that as soon as that second goal was scored, Brendan Moore was panic might not be the right word, but he was starting to sweat a little bit.
Yeah, they were feeling it. Yeah. They were feeling the heat.
And then you get that power play a couple, I can't remember exactly, very shortly after the timeout, though. And then you capitalize on that, and then...
Which I always love. Like, yeah. The coach, like, all right, let's calm it down, and then the team immediately disobeys.
But yeah, like, that's the kind of team-building win, especially against a good team that this team needed. That to know that, hey, we can do this. Like, we can come back against a team. We're never out of games. Like, as long as we play a cohesive, tight game together, like, we can really run roughshod over a lot of these teams in the league, even the top teams. And then... The Buffalo game, it's a little bit, you kind of have the little bit of a reversion, like you said, but overall, you're still finding a way to win. Now, to add on to the Ehlers discourse that has been going on, I don't think how they're handling the lines, regardless of whether you think that Ehlers should be on that top line or not, I don't think the way they're handling it is good at all. I just don't see how you can expect guys to build chemistry on different lines when it's constantly flip-flopping. Like, it's just, it doesn't help anyone. How is anyone supposed to get back chemistry or gain chemistry when you don't know who you're playing with by the third period, right? Like, it's just a constant revolving door. And Ehlers, was he unbelievable against Buffalo? I wouldn't say he was unbelievable, but he was generating some really good chances and he was flying around out there. Like, his play in that Buffalo game did not warrant a demotion. There is nothing that he did in that game.
That to me is the main takeaway. And
to me, he had one kind of bad turnover in the first couple shifts, and then after that, it was
there. And there was one in the second, I believe. It was whenever it was in the game. It was a backhand pass in the offensive zone, like kind of the typical coach pisser offer.
Yeah.
Not a word yet, but like the back, like anytime a backhand pass that gets picked off in the middle of the ice, the coach is going to hate it. Like that's just how it is. But I mean, offensive zone turnover though, like nothing comes of it. And I thought the team as a whole, like they were down 2-1 going into the third. I would say they were dominating. Like, I mean, the shot clock way in the Jets' favor. There were no real issues in that game. It was just, you know, what the puck hadn't gone in for them yet. And then we see the shift happen once again. And I guess what's frustrating to me and to a lot of people in the city is that, and I just think it's evident now. Like, I really don't think there's any debate, you know, well, are they thinking this way? Are they going another way? Ehlers is just held to a different standard than the rest of the Jets forwards. That's just the way it is. You can dislike it or like it, but he is just, there is no one else on this team that when they make a mistake gets demoted immediately like Nick Ehlers does. Mark Scheifele does not. Kyle Connor certainly does not. We've seen that up and down this lineup that the second, and Bones, you know, I don't think he's really hiding it all that much either. It's just people are wondering if it's like coach speak or that, but he says, I changed the lines up because I don't like the way they're playing. Well, he just doesn't like the way Nick Ehlers plays.
Yeah.
Or he doesn't appreciate there's a little more comfort in the predictability of some of the other high-end players on that team.
For how long to start the season was Alex Iafallo on the top line doing nothing? Like, literally doing absolutely nothing. And he just left him there. And he just kept on doing nothing and nothing. And then eventually, it was like, I guess you can't really play on this top line anymore. And he moved him. And he hasn't really... He's seen some time, but he hasn't been there full-time pretty much for the rest of the season, which in my opinion is the right choice. But I don't get how you can leave guys like Iafallo up there and give them a lot of rope when that line's designed to score and they're not scoring with him on that line, yet Ehlers goes on there and generates chances. And it's like, oh yeah, no, you're only gonna get 12 shifts on the top line and then you're done. Yeah. Like, it's crazy to me.
Yeah. And I mean, look, We've done this long enough. I think people here in the city are probably somewhat sick of talking about it, or at the very least, they know the nuances of the argument. But to me, it really is just as simple as the top line for the Jets outscores their opposition at a much higher rate when Ehlers is on it as opposed to when he's off it. And the crazy thing is it doesn't even matter who the guy opposite him is. Like, if it's Shifley Ehlers, they dominate. End of discussion. This is not even debatable. That is just a fact. And it's borne out over, I think, enough time to say that, you know, it doesn't matter. Those two playing the way they do together is a big part of the Jets winning a lot of hockey games. And I would kind of agree with the people that might say, like, who cares who the other guy is beside him? Like, but it's just having Nick Ehlers drop down to a second line that doesn't play as much as a lot of other second lines in the NHL isn't conducive long-term to winning hockey games.
Well, it's not conducive to winning hockey games long-term, and also looking at the long-term, he's not going to be here come July 1st, 2025.
Yeah, I mean,
he's just not.
Yeah, if this continues, this is either this or the next season is going to be his last in Winnipeg.
I legitimately think that if Bones is going to be the coach next year, then you just have to trade Ehlers.
Yeah, like you're not getting the most out of him. Like,
no, you're not.
If you don't appreciate his game, then get somebody in who's going to fit the way you want the team to play.
Yeah. And don't lose him for nothing, because he is the free agent, not after this season, but the season after.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I don't disagree with that either. But, I mean, just on the topic of him potentially re-signing here, I 1,000% would understand his frustration and reluctance to sign long-term when it's like, you know, I just want to go to... He likes it here, right? Which is the rarity in Winnipeg for other people in the NHL. But he probably, like, I want to go somewhere where I'm appreciated and wanted. And if you think I'm a second-line guy, then I can find a team that thinks I'm a first-line guy.
It's not even second-line. Like, he's getting third-line time on ice. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah. And, I mean, look, the power play's humming, but, like, second power play... Deservedly, he's on the second power play right now. No, like, I don't have a problem with that. But from his perspective, like, getting 15 minutes a night second power play, like...
It was a top 10 pick.
Yeah. Like, I could understand his... I certainly understand his frustration in this. But, like, just speaking at this from a Winnipeg Jets perspective here, like, the mission is to win hockey games. Like, this, it's win now. We're not... There's no ulterior motives. It's just... I think that's how we need to look at it. That's how the coaching staff needs to look at it. Like, what makes our team the best right now? There is not an argument you could make that Nikolaj Ehlers being on Sean Monahan's line makes this Jets team a better hockey club right now. And I think that's the issue that we saw play out. And it's just crazy, too, because, again, Ehlers goes out there on the top line in that third period for the Carolina game. It just completely flips it, right? Like... He specifically didn't win them the game, but that decision, I mean, there's no other way to put it. That decision, the game does a complete 180 because of it. And then less than 40 minutes later, it's like, no, done with it. Don't need to see anymore.
It just seems spiteful, like, at this point, too. Like, I really don't see any benefit in how they're handling the lines right now.
Well, and there's a few, I mean, people have their theories, too, about it, like, is it Mark Scheifele being a little uncomfortable with the way Ehlers plays as opposed to, like, how predictable Connor and Vilardi and some of the other guys he's played with this year are?
So predictable that sometimes the Giants scores up in the playoffs with those two.
Well, my main thing with that is, one, the player doesn't dictate who you play with.
Yeah.
So, that. But two, like, okay, what would you rather be? Comfortable and outscored or uncomfortable... and outscoring the opposition and winning games. Like, what are we even doing here? Like, right? Like, I feel like this is Mugatu territory. I'm taking crazy pills. Like, if there's just a... Look, I forget what the exact numbers are, so don't take these as gospel. But, like, Ehlers is on your line, you're outscoring the opposition 21-6. Not on your line, I think I saw somewhere it was like 10-10. Something like that, right? What do you want to do? Like, there's no discussion, right? Like, right? I feel like it's just I just feel like this is an easy one that can be solved extremely quickly here. I also like your point, too, though, Tyson, of, you know, you're still trying... I mean, Monahan's numbers are great as of late, but you're still trying to get him comfortable in that second line, quote unquote second line role. You know, him playing with a new set of wingers every game, sometimes multiple times in a game. Like, you really want to get that line going 5-on-5, and they haven't done that all that much. It's just been Monahan's turned this power play around in such a huge fashion, but, like, you want to get that going, and you're not helping that line in any shape or form, right? So, we'll see what happens. I mean, I don't anticipate the lineup changing when the Jets take on Seattle Tuesday night. I think we'll see Nemestikov up there again, unless I'll be very surprised if he isn't. Having said that, I do like Vladdy getting a shot up there on the top line. That was, and I want to talk about guys that Bones likes. Like, he clearly
loves his Vladdy game,
as he should. Like, he's been great since he's come to Winnipeg. So, I mean, that part was kind of nice to see him get a shot there. But it's just, it is bizarre. And people around the NHL are noticing too, Tyson. Like, it's kind of become one of the more popular topics on Twitter. Like, for people that follow the NHL regularly. Just like, why is this happening in Winnipeg once again? And it's, yeah. My only thing is just, how can the Jets be the best team going into the playoffs? That's all I care about. And making a run at it this year. And I just do not see a viable argument for the Jets being a better team with Nikolaj Ehlers not playing beside Mark Scheifele right now.
Well, and especially too with no Vilardi in the lineup. Like, why? It's just what? Like, you don't have the guy who's been stapled on that line when he's been healthy almost all season. Like, he has played with Mark Scheifele for the majority of this season. And if he's not going to be there, why not toss up the guy who's also had success with Scheifele and Vilardi at certain points and Kyle Connor? It just really is. There's just no good explanation for why this keeps happening, but it's going to keep happening. Like, it just is.
Yeah. In other line of notes, Cole Perfetti gets healthy scratch. We kind of touched on it. We were maybe a little ahead of the curve, Tyson. but scratch against Carolina, back in the lineup against Buffalo. I think you'll probably agree with me. I don't mind. I don't want to say I like the healthy scratch because it's not like a positive, but I understand and agree with the coaching staff's decision to sit down Perfetti for a game. And I thought there was a little more jump in his footsteps in that matchup against Buffalo. I think it's only a matter of time before we see him get another shot in the top six, pending there's no other additions here. But it was nice to see him, like, again, I just think mentally even, just to give him a bit of a refresher, watch the game from upstairs, we're getting you back in, don't worry, and then we build you up that way.
Especially after that turnover in Dallas on the first goal. As soon as he made that play, I was like, he's not playing next game. There's just no way.
Yeah, and I mean, kind of an unfortunate one on one of the Buffalo goals where he, you know, tries to jump up and catches it, misses it. That'll happen time to time. It just
looks bad.
Timing-wise wasn't great, but I just thought from an engagement perspective, he looked a little more into it, which is obviously a positive development for the Jets, especially if they don't make any moves at the deadline here. You're going to need him to be a pretty impactful piece for you moving forward. So we'll see what Cole Perfetti's game is going to be like, starting with this week's back-to-back against Seattle. Positively, man, it's good to have Josh Morrissey on your team. I feel like, and maybe there's just so much other stuff going on, that we haven't talked about him that much this year. In Winnipeg, which means nobody's talking about him around the NHL. But man, he is, I mean, you got to give it to Hellebuck, obviously, because he's having a Vezina caliber year, borderline Hart Trophy caliber year. But Josh Morrissey is this team's best skater, no doubt about it. And he pretty much, there was that game against St. Louis last year where the Jets were struggling and he was like, hop on, boys, this is the Morrissey game. He was pretty close to that against Buffalo in the third period where it's just like, yeah, we're not losing. Like, I'm not letting us lose today. And there aren't that many guys in the NHL can do that. And he is just special. And, you know, I wonder what the votes are going to look like at the end of the year for the Norris Trophy. No doubt about a top 10. He might be creeping into that top 5, maybe sneak gone to the ballot as a top three. Like, he's been so steady, so good, so awesome for the team all year. And I think his game recently has even somehow found a way to elevate once again.
Yeah, and like, we're not necessarily getting the production that we did last year, although it's starting to creep a little bit closer lately. But like, his defensive ability this year compared to last year is much it's leaps and bounds better, which is pretty crazy. To like, he has become an absolute play driver in the offensive zone, and this year he's been absolutely dynamite in the defensive zone too. Like, he is just, that's one thing with this coaching staff since they've come in the past 2 years, is that they've really helped Josh Morrissey reach that upper echelon of NHL defenseman, and he proves it night in and night out. Like, and
yeah, seventh in league scoring.
Yeah,
which is, you're right, like, a bit of a down year compared to, but it's really just the goals. Like, yeah, he just hasn't scored as much as he did last year, but like, seventh in league scoring for D-men, and you're right, defensively he's been much more stout this year. I mean, he's going to be one of the defensemen for Canada at the next Olympics.
He might be. I saw on Twitter earlier today, X, as they like to call him, that he's probably the second best Canadian D-man right now, after Makar.
Oh, interesting.
I mean, really, who?
Yeah.
Devon Taves, no. I'd have Morrissey, like, Shea Theodore, maybe. But I think I'm sticking with Morrissey there. Like, I agree. I think he is the second best Canadian defenseman in the NHL right now.
Yeah, the only other ones, like, Dobson, he's having a breakout year.
Yeah, Dobson will
be. Morrissey has a bit more of a, like, kind of like an extra season of elite production. And Bouchard's been pretty great this year for Edmonton. But as great as those guys are, I'm taking Morrissey over.
Me too.
He might sneak onto the ballot. Like, it does feel like it's kind of Quinn Hughes' award to lose.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't really argue Morrissey over Hughes at this point. But Hughes, Makar, Morrissey? In that order? I would probably go that way with what we've seen so far.
Yeah, I mean, well, and we'll see, because you mentioned Dobson, and I mean, if the Islanders end up going on a run and he plays a big part of that, I think he probably slides in there too, just because his point production is a little bit slightly better than
10 more points, yeah.
But yeah, like, he's right there, regardless. Yeah. And then it's nice to be nominated for an award in the NHL. Anyone who's followed the NHL for a while now knows that some of the people who are voting are absolute. Their ballots are just garbage.
Yeah.
And so biased. Like, without even, you're not even trying to be unbiased. Like, you're just, like, tossing guys that you cover. So, like, it's not the end-all, be-all if you don't get nominated. Like, I mean, I'm still salty about this one, but Claude Giroux didn't get nominated.
Oh. Okay, the people don't want to hear about...
regardless, a nomination doesn't make or, cement your status as one of the NHL's elite. It's your play on the ice, and he has shown that he is a top five defenseman right now.
Yeah, you can't show me 10 better defensemen than him. Oh, yeah, I wonder how many in general you'd put ahead of Josh Morrissey right now, but it's not too many of them. And that was on full display in that third period of the Jets' comeback win over the Buffalo Sabres. And it ties nicely, Tyson, because I have a bit of a take or a tangent that I want to lean towards here as we shift gears to wrap up the episode from the play on the ice to what's coming up off it here. A few days away from the trade deadline officially taking place. Stay tuned to when the next episode comes out. We might get one in before the deadline. Depends too if the Jets do something. Emergency episode will be released depending on circumstances as they come out. But it might be our last one potentially before the deadline. And we just spent a few minutes talking about the season that Josh Morrissey's having, following up his spectacular breakout campaign last year. You've got Morrissey, top 10 defenseman, no doubt about it. You've got Connor Hellebuyck, number one goalie in the NHL, no doubt about it. You've got Mark Scheifele playing a much more effective game. His salary is going to go up next year. You've got Connor, you've got Ehlers, guys that are in their prime, but, you know, not for super long. You've made the move for Monahan, right? I don't know what's going to happen over the next few days, but it really feels like, to me, it's going to be a major wasted opportunity if this team does not make additional moves and not just, here comes Eric Johnson as our eighth defense. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I truly believe that the time is now to go out there and let's make a splash. We've got picks. We've got prospects. We're not shipping McGrory out or anything like that. And we're not totally losing our minds. But the level below that, I am okay with. Because I don't know if it's going to be a better opportunity for this Jets team to make a deep run with the way that the stars have aligned so far this season. They're relatively healthy. There's going to be, as with every team, but there's going to be a little more cap difficulties next year with Hellebuck-Shifley extensions kicking in, let alone some of the other things that they'll have to try to figure out with. Colorado, as it stands right now, isn't as dangerous as they were a few years back. Dallas is a problem. We'll worry about that later. But this is about as good as it gets if you're the Winnipeg Jets here. And you might have, by the time the deadline comes around, you might be a few points up on the Stars with games in hand for first in the division. If they don't make one more additional semi-impactful move, where it's a top nine forward or a top four defenseman, I think this team's going to regret that decision.
Absolutely. I agree 100%. And I'm even just going back to the Bettman conferences and the Chipman availabilities. You want to say that, hey, we want to bring fans in and bring a reason to get the crowd rocking again. And then you're just going to kind of, like, you're just going to make one move for your team and be like, well, that's all we need to do for the deadline. I don't want to hear this talk about, well, we want to be a contender for the next 5 to 7 years, not just for the next 2 to 3. Who knows what's going to happen in 5 to 7 years? You know that right now you're first in the Central with games in hand. You have the opportunity to get a very cakewalk matchup in the first round.
Or avoid Dallas, Colorado, right. Most both. Importantly. Yeah.
Like it's you're getting two and one there. Like it's, to me, it's crazy if they don't go out there and at least supplement this roster a little bit more. You need, like, this is your chance. This, like, the West overall for the most part kind of stinks this year. It really does. Like, there's the teams at the top, but
it's not, yeah, I would, yeah, it's not as fearsome as other editions of the West.
I worry about Dallas and Vegas right now. Those are the only two teams the Jets, whenever they play Edmonton, they play them very tough, and it just seems like McDavid Dreisaitl come playoff time against the Jets.
Somehow.
They just can't produce against them. And so to me, it's clear that, hey, if you beat Dallas and Vegas on your way to the Cup, hey, you're looking like the Cup favorites, potentially, so let's do it. Let's go all in this year. The Jets have never really totally gone all in.
They've traded their first-round pick.
Yes.
Several times.
Yes. Yeah.
But they've never, it's always been like a one move.
Yeah, this is your year where I think if you can, and especially the last couple days, we're starting to hear a lot more bigger names become available now.
Yeah, and again, it doesn't have to be rentals. Like, you can get guys with term. Let me know, is there somebody or something that you're looking at more than the others? Like, be it a specific name or a situation? There's something that I'm kind of leaning towards a little bit as we move along here. And I wonder if you're, I want to know where your head's at right now.
Well, I mean, there's obviously been the Seattle stuff, and it seems like now, by the time we're recording this, Wennberg has been held out for practice and will be held out for the game coming up for the Kraken due to trade reasons. I'm looking at Pittsburgh. And, you know, a guy that maybe fits the MO of the Jets style of play, Riley Smith, guy who's won a cup.
Okay.
But there's some other names there. Like, I mean, Gensel's the biggest name that's out there. And I know that there was some talk that the Penguins went to Brian Rust and said, hey, we don't really want to trade you. If I'm Chevy, I'm willing to offer a legit player and say, we want Brian Rust.
Hmm.
And I think Brian Rust would just be, he would be loved here in Winnipeg. I think you can pop him on any of those top three lines and he can fit in seamlessly. He can
He'd be like a, that's a very Chevy move.
Yeah.
A guy that, like, zero talk about right now.
And another, my other guy that I'd be looking at, I'd be adding a defenseman, but it's not going to be a high price. And I'm looking at Adam Boqvist. You're going to have Dylan leave, most likely, with all the rumors.
Sounds like Vancouver.
Yeah. DeMelo's still up in the air. I hope that they keep him, but who knows. But I think you're buying low on a guy who's a top 10 pick, I believe. I believe he was 7th overall?
Around there.
Yeah, whatever. But he was highly regarded coming into that draft.
Yeah.
You're taking a chance on a guy who's not going to be valued that much by Columbus right now, especially being in Columbus. And we've seen the past couple of seasons with Columbus, no one on that team is doing good. So you could have an opportunity to capitalize, and you could grab a guy who has put up numbers similar to Pionk in the past. Like, he could be that Pionk replacement for much cheaper. And I like that kind of, you're still being the savvy Winnipeg Jets buying low on guys, kind of reclamation projects, guys with a little, doesn't have term, but he has the RFA status. I think those are two pieces that help your team now and in the future. And it gives your fan base and your players a little bit more juice, and it could really get the city going, in my opinion.
Yeah, I don't disagree. The Rust one is good work. That's a nice one. I like that. I wonder, it's been kind of quiet for a little bit around this team. But you just talked about making a splash and something to get the city excited, fans, players, all that stuff. And they've been scouting each other for quite some time now. And it's kind of been like a semi-open secret that, they're talking again. Interesting. I mean, to potentially just get all your work done with one team and get this out of the way, I'm kind of talking myself into the Jets going after Sean Walker and Scott Laudon in Philly. Oh. And Laudon's been playing a lot better for Philly. He's been one of their best players in the past 2 to 3 weeks. And Walker's been great all season long. And maybe there's a way you can work the deal. I don't know if Nate Schmidt would be involved going back the other way. Right? Like, a lot of moving parts, potentially.
I will say just one thing on that. There is not a single team or a single line in the NHL that would want to play against Adam Lowry and Scott Laudon on the
same line. It would be unbelievable.
They would drive teams insane.
Yeah. Laudon would be an immediate fan favorite here. And he's got some skill to go along with it. And, I mean, like, he's borderline the Flyers' captain for the past... With Couturier out, he was essentially their captain for the last year and a half. But I mean, to bring two guys in like that in one fell swoop, and you'd be looking at potentially Walker Dillon on the second pair, Pionk Sandberg as your third pair. I mean, that's pretty enticing with the way Walker's played so far this season. It's like getting a boosted version of Neil Pionk, right? Like, they play very similar. Walker maybe a little less risk and combustibility in his game. And then Laudon comes in and can basically play on any line you have.
Yeah.
And I think his game is one that the Jets could use come playoff time as well. I'm kind of talking myself into that becoming a reality for Winnipeg. And just kind of that big boost of getting two guys in at once. I don't know. I think it would go a long way for Winnipeg. And then you're set. Like, you do that move, you've got depth on defense. Whether or not Schmidt would be involved in that deal, but you're deep 1 through 6, potentially 1 through 8. And then up front, you've got a lot of guys hungry to get into the lineup, and you're kind of set all over the roster there. You got the best backup goalie, backing up the best goalie. Like, there's not really a ton of weaknesses on this team. So whether it's Walker and Laudon, or maybe it's two separate trades, whatever it is, like, the Jets can find a way to make two moves here they're not going to have to give up the farm to do it. But you can kind of see how making two moves like that eliminates a lot of holes on this team. And to give Hellebuck support up front like that, I don't know. I think the time's now.
And, like, with all these like, if you need to get rid of a prospect in one of these deals, you have a lot of gems on the wings. Like, you have a lot of winger prospects there, and, you know, you just can't play all of them.
Yeah.
And not to mention, you have Kyle Connor up there. Perfetti looks like he's going to be a winger going forward. Like, there's only so many top six wing spots that these guys can fill.
Yeah.
And so, you know, clear out the logjam a little bit and put your priority at bolstering the D core prospects or getting a center for the D for the prospect pool. Like, it's, to me, it's almost a no-brainer, really.
Ooh, it's going to be exciting. A few more days and we'll find out the answer. Well, we'll see, too, what other teams. That's kind of the scary thing, too, is, you know, what's Dallas going to add on with Tanev? And then what's Colorado going to do? Colorado's just kind of been the sleeping giant in terms of inactivity right now. But if they make a move, then things get really scary. So it's going to be a wild next couple of days here. We'll keep an eye on it. But yeah, I think Skates and Plates is officially in. Let's go push the chips in here. We're going big. We're finding a way to make a run here. And we'll see if Chevy's feeling a little aggressive. He's had a hell of a past 9-10 months. So like, why not just cap it off with a couple more? All it is, just a couple more moves. Just two more. You've already made a bunch now. Just make two more. It's not a big deal. But we'll keep an eye on it. And keep an eye on us when we get back at it, potentially before the trade deadline, if a move is made. If not, we'll break it all down once the madness takes place later on this week. But that's going to do it for us for today's episode. Thank you guys so much for tuning in once again to Skates and Plates on the Hockey Podcast Network. We'll get back at it. When? Well, later this week. I don't know yet. We'll see what happens with both the Jets' action on the ice against Seattle Tuesday and Friday, and the deadline taking place Friday afternoon as well. Worst case, we'll be back at it Saturday morning. If not, just check us out on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to us, and we'll have a new episode if something big happens before then. But until then, we'll talk to you guys soon. Enjoy the rest of your work week, and we will be in touch. Let's make a move. Let's get it going here.
Woo!
We'll talk to you guys soon. Peace.